Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You gotta know, Hugh.
Hey, I'm telling you, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money.
Oh my gosh, it's awful.
It's a good song. It is a good song.
You hurt my feelings with that.
Hugh was really feeling it too.
Living in this big blue world. I'm starting not to like Kyle. He kind of hurt my feelings.
Are we putting out the Hugh album this Christmas? I mean, I'm telling you, if we put a whole album out, we could sell it at the WIP store.
I don't know why I'm so sensitive because he does it every day, but that one hurt.
Yeah, you should
that
be used
hurt,
to it by
that
now.
That one hurt a little bit.
Because you really, you were into that one.
I was feeling that one.
You were. Like, and you know what I'm feeling? I'm feeling bothered by Dave Dombrowski. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo. This hour sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings and seven
Popeyes in a while.
Delicious flavors for Popeyes.
That's a hint.
Sunday. Well, Sunday, it's game day. You know, you get some wings. You want some free food in here.
What about today?
Come on over.
I'm just saying.
Fly over here, Popeyes. Now, we appreciate Popeyes being part of the show here. And I appreciate when GMs of the team, the decision makers, feel the kind of, you know, emotions that the fans feel when the thing goes off the rails. So the last three seasons we've had here that have ended in the playoffs, right? Not the Flyers last year, but the three that have ended in the playoffs. The Phillies just happened. The Eagles last January and the Sixers last May. Right? Let's listen to the three decision makers, the three architects of the team. Just, you'll notice a different tone. Dombrowski came across yesterday like, what do you want me to do? And Maury and Howie didn't. Let's hear first Dombrowski. Just listen to the tone of Dombrowski yesterday afternoon.
Well, it's the up and down nature of the game at times. I wouldn't have anticipated us to have that same pace the first half of the season. Yet I wouldn't have anticipated we'd have 500 record the second half or right around there. I think there's a few factors. I mean, some guys were hurt at times, ups and downs of that regard. We just didn't perform quite as well at times during the second half of the season, some of the players. And I also think that, and I'll take the responsibility, when we went into the trading deadline, we were in a position where we looked at a lot of different things. And the fifth starting position was in a spot where, at that point, we felt pretty comfortable where we were. You looked at the acquisition of what some other individuals would be. But we had Tyler Phillips, who was pitching very well at that time. We had Tyon Walker coming back in about 10 days, and we didn't think he'd pitch the way he pitched. We figured we had Spencer Turnbull coming back at the end of August, and we felt that he had pitched really well previously to getting hurt, but we thought he'd be able to step into the starting rotation. Well, none of those things worked for us.
It's a remarkably dull statement there from Dombrowski.
Well, he's a matter-of-fact kind of guy.
He is, and it's almost like, you know, yeah, sometimes you don't perform. Could you imagine after a playoff loss how he says, well, you sometimes just have a bad quarter here and there. What are you going to do? No, he would be, well, let's listen. Howie last year after the Eagles got blown out in Tampa and fell apart down the stretch of the season. Here was Howie. Listen to the difference in tone.
And so I think for us, it's also important to understand, like, we accept responsibility. Whatever the product is, at the end of the day, that's on me. That's on coach, and we accept that. So we don't ask the players to make these decisions. We don't ask the other people who work for us to make these decisions. We try to get information, and we try to make the best decisions we possibly can so that the confetti can fall on our head again and we can be world champs again, because that's the only agenda.
That's it. That from Howie there. I didn't get that from Dombrowski yesterday. I know they want to win, but I didn't get the same, we failed. The only thing that matters is winning a championship.
Well, can I?
Go ahead.
And I'm not making excuses, because I know, like, a lot of times when I try to spit truth, a lot of the listeners, they think that I'm making excuses. It's not an excuse. It's a different perspective. I think Howie had to learn how to be that way. You know, being around the fans, being around people and feeling how passionate this fan base is.
You mean
is
here?
Here
because,
in Philadelphia.
Because Dave is very experienced.
Yes, and he's been other places. This is a unique situation that we're in here in Philadelphia, man. We've been talking about it all week, how the coach, how passionate the fan base is, how the coach look like he's coming unhinged and all this other stuff. We've had a lot of conversations about that.
By the way, that coach 12 o'clock press conference in its entirety.
And I feel like when I hear that, that's a guy that has not had a whole lot of press conferences that we've heard of where there's been a lot of adversity.
Here
in Philadelphia.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's all I'm trying to look at, because when he got here, you know, he had a winning track record. He went out and got some good players, and
they went to the World Series, yeah.
Yes, thank you. And it was turning. Now it's not bad, because you're had the second best record in Major League Baseball. And he's looking at it like, okay, it's not bad. It's not like we were the worst team and whatever. But you've progressively gotten worse every year as far as how far you've gotten. So he's looking at it like, okay, it's not as bad. It's not that bad. So it's not doom and gloom for him. The Eagles last year, they fell apart. And we saw it. We tried to deny ourselves about it. That's the difference. So that's why I'm willing to give him a little bit of grace in that.
I understand. I mean, I think that's a fair point. Now, the Phillies didn't fall apart to the Eagles level. They did fall off, right?
Yeah, they did fall off.
From where they were in June to the end of the season.
But they looked like they gave us hope. And we felt like they were turning the corner.
I agree.
Eagles, we put blinders on, man. We had rose-colored glasses.
We lied
all the way to the end. So much so, I wish I could remember some of the callers' names that called in and said we were going to blow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out. Remember that? When they was always going to... We're going to go down there. We're going to blow them out.
Well, they were right about a blowout.
It was the wrong way.
Let's listen to one more. And I think he's an overrated executive, but at least he understood what the purpose was. Here's Morey, Daryl Morey, at the end of last season.
Obviously, we didn't meet our goals this year. That said, I think you guys came in. This place is buzzing. Everyone's in, excited to attack this offseason, a big, big offseason for us. We're excited. We obviously have two great studs to build around in Joel and Tyrese. You know, this offseason is a big one. You know, I owe it to the fans, to ownership, to everybody, to get this team in a place where we're competing for championships, and we obviously didn't achieve that this year. Again, we're very well situated to use all the tools, trade, free agency, draft, to upgrade the team. And, you know, we're going to put every single effort into that.
I mean, now in retrospect, that's a good answer. Like, hey, we failed. The only goal is a championship. And I'm going to spend every waking hour this offseason. And guess what? I don't know if it's going to work. Paul George is already banged up. He's not a spring chicken. But you know what?
In the beat and play it every other day.
But
he ain't playing back-to-back.
But he tried, right? Like,
yeah, he did.
Morey set a plan. He got the player he wanted. Now we get to see if it worked. And we'll criticize him or praise him off that. But he said, hey, this wasn't good enough. I'm going to do everything I can this offseason to get us where we need to be. And he did what he thought he needed to do. DeBrass like, yeah, we got a good team.
Yeah, can I offer a little bit of perspective as far as Daryl Morey's concern?
Yeah.
He was a dude that somebody flew halfway across the country and called him a liar in a club, like flat out. James Harden did call the man a liar, so he was in a position where he had to try to get some good graces back. Not making excuses, I'm just saying he was in a different realm. That's the point that I'm making.
So I'll call Dave a liar if it gets us Juan Soto. Dave, you're a liar. Go get Juan Soto.
So Dave Dave's in a position where he hasn't had the adversity that those other two guys have had.
You know what I mean?
And that's it. And you have to come. Like, think about.
But that's about to change here.
Yeah, it is. But think about Daryl Morey. This is the same cat, man. We had to go out and give away, 2,000 tickets because the Knicks fans invaded the state. Come on, man. Because nobody believed in this organization.
He needed to fix it.
You got to come to this fan base with hat in hand and act like that.
Maybe Dave needs to watch their press conferences. 215-592-9494. Did yesterday's Phillies press conference bother you? Coming up at 11, Seth Joyner. We'll have the entirety of the Sirianni press conference at 12. Elliot later in the show. Lot to discuss here. Let's talk to Scott in King of Prussia. Hey, Scott.
Hey, greetings. Calling to talk Phillies, Wales, and a quick Nick comment.
Oh, that sounds like the midday show.
He must have watched the telecom.
Yeah, we'll get into that, Hugh. Anyway, the biggest failure of that news conference was the failure to read the room and the mental state of your fan base, of where we are as a fan base right now. I think you have a very seasoned speaker in Dombrowski, but he was not prepped properly of the room that he was entering into and what we were looking for as a fan base. And you guys are hitting upon it, right upon it this morning. The message was more, if I had to pick a message, it was more of if we do, we do, and if we don't, we don't, there's always next year, which we all know is like one of the most hated messages we've probably ever heard from a Phillies executive.
The old Andy McPhail special, yep.
Right. Instead of hearing what you're going to do to change the process, to break this up, in order to get back on the track of winning a championship. That's what the failure, none of that was addressed. And because none of that was addressed, it left us with a feeling of like, what the hell? Like do you not have any idea of who you're speaking to and where we are right now as a fan base? And I think that's the message that they missed, and that's unfortunate.
It is, and it just didn't come across as urgency to change the issues that we know are there. Like that quote that I keep coming back to, it's not good, but it's not the worst. That is a McPhail kind of quote. It's we're fine being good. If we're great by accident, that's great too. But it's like they're not going to lose any sleep at night if they get knocked out in the first round.
And Hugh, I get your point of not showing your hand, and you are 100% correct in that. However, he needed to address the other things about winning a championship and the miss, you know, the fact that the expectations, that just failure to address all those things, it was too much of, well, there's next year, baseball, and it's a tough game.
But you know what, Scott, I'll say this. And you might not agree with this, but I feel like at that press conference, that wasn't his job. I know he was asked those questions, but that's more, I feel like, on Topper. He's the guy, he's almost like the chef. Or what is the guy that buys the stuff for the restaurant? I guess the buyer.
The buyer, sure.
Yeah. And
shopper.
Yeah. And Topper is the chef.
He's got to make the meal with it.
So he has to, like, that's more, to me, I feel like that's more of a question to him, because the question that he was asked about the groceries that he was going to try to buy, he didn't answer those because he was like, I'm waiting to see. But I that's how I kind of looked at it. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and I just want to pivot real quick to a quick Nick comment and then a quick fluke. Whales having a terrible day. I don't know. I'll pass it aside. I'll get in that tank. They die. How does the third person get into that tank with the whale after two people before them died? How does that happen?
You know what? When I watched the documentary, I got the sense that it didn't happen. It happened like over periods of years, because the whale was like 30 something years old and it had like 20 something offspring. So I feel and they moved him around a lot. So I feel like a lot of the times when they died, they kind of covered it up a little bit. And that's why it happened. But, and the last young lady, man,
covering
that was
up the whales.
They talked about
this
how
this is a scandal.
Well, I might be wrong about that, but they talked about how they made excuses for the whale, say, well, he was stressed out or whatever, and he had like it probably was he was mental or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they talked about how the lady was training him, and he was cool until they blamed her, basically saying that she made a sudden move or whatever, and he got irritated, and he attacked her. So I don't know.
And it wasn't her fault. What came out.
Yeah, they said it wasn't her fault. They said, but then they also said it wasn't the whale fault.
Well, someone, I need to blame someone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. They said it wasn't the whale fault either.
The bottom of the story there is don't take a giant whale and put it into a fishbowl and expect it to be okay.
I think that's a fair one. That's a fair point, Scott.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a good point.
I don't fool around in the water, man.
There's a difference of going in a pool and going in with a whale. Most people don't go swimming with whales.
No, especially orcas.
I'm not doing that.
Didn't you remember a couple years ago, the orcas were attacking boats? You didn't see that story?
I'm sure you probably sent it to me.
Oh, I'm definitely going to send it to you, Joe. They were attacking boats, and they were sinking boats like about a year or two ago.
I think the same whales. Big picture. I understand your point on the water.
But I don't laugh at that.
I don't think we have to worry about going in the pool or just like wading your feet in the ocean because of these whales.
You just live your life in fear.
I don't live my life in fear. I'm just saying. I'm not. When you go in the water, you're the away team. That's all I got to say. You don't have home field advantage.
I was trying to think of a correlation between the whale situation and the Phillies as we just had this Dombrowski conversation. Yeah. You know how you said it happened over time, like years, the whale attacked?
Yes.
And then, like, Scott's point was, like, by the year three, why are you surprised we're person three? Mm-hmm. That's Dombrowski with the Phillies. They fell apart with their offense in the playoffs last year. What are you going to do? They fell apart this year with their offense in the playoffs. If you run it back again, you're the third person that goes in the whale tank. Don't be stupid.
Can I play devil's advocate?
To the whale conversation
or
the Phillies?
To the Phillies conversation.
But they might be the whale.
But they had the second best record in baseball.
Yeah, but so here's the thing.
They just fell apart down there.
So you're right. But I think the Phillies and a lot of teams need to realize this. It's a different, like, the regular season is a marathon. If you're running a marathon, you train differently.
And it's a sprint towards the end.
They got to figure out to learn how to sprint. They have marathoners. Castellanos is a marathoner.
Yes.
And he actually played pretty well in this.
Bryce is a, well in this segment, Bryce is a sprinter. But he's a marathoner.
He can do both.
But he was more of a marathoner going into this.
They need more sprinters. They've got marathoners.
You know what's funny? This is eerily similar to what we're trying to get the Sixers to do this year. Because we've been marathoners with the Sixers. Now we're trying to give guys rest days. We're not doing back-to-backs.
Be sprinters.
Because we're trying to get the sprinter. We're trying to get our big guy ready for the sprint. We know, you know what I mean? He's not a good marathoner. So we're trying to half train. You know, we're taking 2 days on, 4 days off to get ready for the sprint. You know what I mean?
Big fella.
We're carbo loading. You know
get
what I mean?
Get ready for May.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy hump day.
Hey, Chris. What's up, buddy? What are you feeling?
Here's what I'm feeling. First off, Hugh Douglas, I want to discuss something with you. I got to kiss the baby for you.
Oh, my. Come on. You talking about my fantasy team?
Yeah, you're in trouble. 1-5?
It's over. Hugh, it's over. You should just trade.
Chris. I knew that's what you're doing. Don't come over here trying to get me to trade some of my players.
Let's try to pluck good players off of his team.
You know what? This is when my pettiness is going to kick in. I ain't trading nobody. If I go down, we all go down together. Me. Yeah. Who's that? My quarterback? Mm. Who is my quarterback?
No, I like that. Don't become a farm team for everybody else.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to let y'all do me like that.
You can't do a tank fire sale on fantasy.
CJ Stroud, he going down with me, James Cook,
good.
Breece Hall,
I respect
all
that.
Of them.
Good. Not Malik
Marvin
Neighbors,
Harris, Junior.
I'm just saying a trade-off for James Cook.
I'm not trading nobody.
Go ahead, Chris.
Ain't nobody leaving. We all going down together.
Titanic's going down, and he was like, screw you, Captain, you're going down with me. So that's all right. Hey, guys, listen, so this Phil's thing, you guys have basically said it all. I definitely think there was a lot of poker going on yesterday. He's not going to show his hand. They are in a different position than the Phillies and all the other franchises because they do have enough talent to win. Their execution is off and terrible. I'm in this mode. I'm sellout for Soto, so I don't care what you need to do. You go get them because that's what the Mets are going to do. They'll spend. So I think that's what we need to do. Here's the other thing, guys. It is now or never. Listen, I'm going to run through our core players and their ages. Wheeler's 34. Nola's 31. Real Muto is 33. Harper's 32. Turner's 31. Schwarber's 31. Cassianos is 32. Guys, the window is getting ready to close, so we don't have time to mess around and try to kind of do it. Like, we need to go all in and do what's needed to win.
Now, it's got to be now, Chris. Appreciate it. It's got to be now. Like, they could talk about the next guys, and that was part of yesterday. They talked about Andy Painter, and Devin called him that in the press conference. You know that Andrew Painter now has Andy Painter on his Twitter account?
Yes.
I guess he's Andy?
He slowly morphed into Andy Painter without any of us knowing.
Whatever.
Well, Dave knew because she called him Andy. And I thought he was just sort of like batting her the ball back. Like
Andy?
Calling him Andy because she did. But he's apparently Andy now.
Andrew, he looks like he's a great prospect. But we don't know until he gets here and how healthy he'll be, how much he'll provide. They need to make moves to win. Next year.
Do we like him better as an Andy?
I think, Like, what can you picture more? 2026 National League Cy Young Award winner Andrew Painter or Andy Painter?
Andy sounds,
I think I like Andy,
juvenile a little bit.
But now that I think about young it, and he's a flamethrower. Yeah. He's a prospect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and it's something different. And when Devin calls you that, that's, it's kind of cool. Yeah.
I think, you know, I'd be more scared of an Andy than an Andrew. Like, if I'm in the batter's box, like, Andrew's more nerdy-ish, whereas Andy's like, that guy might have some juice.
Might be a badass.
Andy sounds like he has juice, Kyle.
Yes,
he
does. Yeah.
Not really.
You
not really.
Played for a head coach named Andy Reid.
And guess what I called him? Big Red. Never called him
Well,
Andy.
We could figure out a nickname for Painter.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is right now off the top of my head, but he doesn't have to be Andy.
And Chris, you know, Chris, you ain't slick. He's trying to trade my one player and trying to get me three.
Oh, I was just going for one for one.
See if he was like Amari Cooper, Jalen Waddle, Kareem. No,
I'm getting James Cook for me. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, all your phone calls coming up. And we'll also speak to Seth Joyner on the Eagles. We got to get Seth's thoughts on the Sirianni situation. And, of course, what he saw on Sunday, was that a really encouraging defensive performance, or was that more like, hey, they played the Cleveland Browns and Watson's that bad? What did Seth see from the defense on Sunday? We'll look ahead of this Giants game as well. His thoughts on it all and your calls to the Phillies. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.